head into the theater and the usher nods me in. They know me here. I descend down the staircase behind the movie screen that only select people know about. The door at the bottom opens and I walk in. The sound of movie spoilers fill the air. The barkeep has my drink ready and motions me to the back. The rest of the crew are here already. This is my type of place, and these are my type of people. Join me as we discuss the inner secrets of cinema. Have a seat in the spoiler room.
Hello, my friends, to another episode of the Spoiler Room, and this is kind of a special table for two episode, if you will. It's just me and another crew member, and tonight we're going to talk about a recently released horror film called A Quiet Place. And with me in tonight to talk about A Quiet Place is none other than the lovely Andrew Shearer. Hello, Andrew. How are you, sir?
Hey, you know there's no podcast in a world where aliens kill you if you make noise.
That's true. If that we were in that world right now, we would we'd probably be meat. Eaten by some big ugly monster.
Yeah, there would be no spoiler room.
No, there'd be no podcasting at all.
Aliens fucking, they ruin everything every time.
They do. Creatures just they always screw things up for us humans, I tell you.
Well, one of these days they're gonna be like, "What do you want from us, aliens?" "We want the podcasts."
They're getting broadcast out all over the world, over the galaxy. So, So A Quiet Place. Yes, basically, it's a story set in the future where we follow a family that is living in silence because the world has been infested with creatures that hunt by sound. And so we catch up with this family first 89 days into the infestation or whatever, if you will. They don't quite establish it, I don't think, ever. Do they, Andrew, whether or not it's aliens or not?
It was actually really cool. They just sort of, you're just right in there, and they don't explain things. And, you know, it starts out really intriguing. You're just right in the story, which is cool because we've all seen several, however many hundred movies about, you know, either dystopian or post-apocalyptic or alien invasion or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need it. Just show me who it's about. We don't need it. So they didn't do it.
And that's what it is. It's about the Abbott family. We end up following them. And it's 89 days in when we first catch up in this first act. And there's a bit of a tragedy the family suffers at the loss of a child. This film opening with this whole bit, Andrew, how'd you feel about it? I mean, it kind of set the tone of what kind of thing you were in for, didn't it?
I mean, yeah, but you know, I'm watching it going like, okay, who's this kid that's gonna die? Because I thought he was part of the family, but I'd seen that trailer so many times, you know what I'm saying? I knew he was gonna get killed, so I'm like, oh, well, great, their son's going to get killed. So I was just waiting to see how he would get the ship, even though his dad told him, you know, don't. And yeah. I was just like, okay, who is he going to sneak it? Because I knew he was going to set off the thing because it's in the trailers, you know? So they just about spoil in the trailers the death of this kid. But even then I was like, because they don't talk, I wasn't exactly sure if he was part of their family or not, you know?
Yeah, it was a bit hard to tell if he was just a kid hanging out that ended up following him at first. And that's what I got too, though. I mean, any kid death is tragic anyway. But yeah, that was one scene in the trailer.
They recently did that in the beginning of It also.
Yes. Yeah, kids are no longer kind of being killed off screen or whatnot anymore. We're getting kids now in horror films dying, or we see them start to fall victim on screen, which I'm okay with that trend, I guess, as long as it serves the plot, which this did kind of. I mean, it set the stage for how the family was, you know, when we catch up with them again almost over a year later after the tragedy. So this kind of moved the plot, you know, though I'm not for killing a kid just to kill a kid, which, you know, I'd be afraid this might start a precedent for. I don't know. What do you think on that?
Well, I think, well, you know, mother had that baby's born and then his neck is broken almost immediately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a part in this where a baby is definitely in peril. And so you're like, well, maybe they'll do it. They did it in Mother. Paramount Pictures, right? Same company.
Same company. Paramount Pictures, not afraid to kill kids on screen.
No. Nope. That's our new slogan.
That's their new slogan. But yeah, you're right. The trailer did spoil this scene. So you're kind of just wondering how, what's going to lead up to it. And in this case, we learn that it is his deaf sister who ended up sneaking him the ship that they found while they were foraging for supplies, medicine for one of the other kids who was feeling ill. But she took the batteries out. But of course, the kid being a kid, he took the batteries. So when we catch up the family the year later, after the kid gets creature meal, we see that it's affected the family quite a bit. And it leads us to one of the actors, which John Krasinski in here, who I wasn't really familiar with because I didn't watch The Office. Not only did he direct, but he stars as the husband with his true wife, Emily Blunt. And we catch up with them and we've seen how they've kind of adapted their lives to not making sound. And I thought it felt realistic. Didn't you, Andrew, on what they came up with?
I mean, I guess. Yeah. I definitely thought that the family dynamic felt good. I mean, Emily Blunt, I also have not watched The Office, so I don't know John Krasinski from anything, but Emily Blunt was just incredible. I mean, she's so steady. She's just one of those really good actors that can do drama and comedy, just like, you know, just the flip the coin. And I also really was taken by Millicent. The actual deaf person that is cast as his daughter. She was just like every moment on screen with her was just fantastic. I mean, even if you didn't know that she was deaf in real life, which I learned before I saw the movie. It's one of the reasons why I went. She's just fantastic. She's so believable.
Oh, she was amazing. And I went in not knowing she was deaf until afterwards. I watched some interviews and the Q&A today at the South by Southwest. I'm like, oh shit, she's really deaf. Like, yep. I feel like an ass now, but her performance was so good in this film that, you know, that, yeah, whether or not she could hear or not, she's got acting chops, and I'm hoping that she gets, you know, put in more stuff, because she was just amazing. And apparently John Krasinski pushed to have her actually cast in the film.
Yeah, she's in the new Todd Haynes movie, Wonderstruck, which I haven't seen, but I'm looking forward to seeing. It's going to be, Athens is going to get it soon. There was a trailer before, I can't remember what I saw. But yeah, so we're going to be getting it sometime soon. I like Todd Haynes.
Yeah, apparently it's a really good film too. So she's had a chance to be on screen with some really well-known actors and some good productions, and she just is showing her talent. And so hopefully she does get far, because I loved her in this as the girl who kind of blames herself for what happened to her brother. Even though, you know, no one else seems to blame her, at least I don't think so, with it, but she plays that very well with a lot of emotion. Even though she can't speak, she conveyed a lot of emotion in her role, and I thought it was really well played how she did it. And again, convincing, though. It felt real, you know, not just because she was truly deaf, but I mean, just the emotion and everything that she was able to convey through her sign language and her everything else, because they can't make noise, which is an interesting dynamic, because you don't realize just how many things do make noise in the world. I particularly enjoyed the thing they came up with in the house on where to step so they wouldn't creak the boards.
And the board games with the pieces that were all soft, you know, just a lot of thought went into them making this world believable for the audience.
Yeah, they were playing Monopoly with like little sewn or cutout figures that were paper and rolling dice on a blanket, which I thought was interesting on this. And obviously, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski had an easy time playing husband and wife because they're husband and wife. But I imagine in front of the camera, it's a little bit different. But, you know, I was kind of happy. And Andrew, you watched a lot of films, especially wide release films. I was happy that they didn't have what we normally see with couples on the big screen. And I think you know what I'm talking about, the troubled relationship.
Yeah, well, you know, silence is golden, man. And, you know, it's like, how do you know if you're getting the silent treatment? It's like, you get me, like, what did I do? You know, it's like a lot is taken out, taken off the table by not being able to raise one's voice to one another. So there's no real way you can have an argument. You know, the times when they do, it's just like, you know, you better slow your roll, man. I'm aliens. Am I going to hear you? You get wrong with me, you're dead, right?
Right.
Of course, their relationship is fine. Can't nobody get pissy? Can't even throw a dish because they eat off of like little pieces of cloth.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you don't think about it, but your dishes make noise, so they've got to eat on fabric.
Yeah, and what does the mad person do, man? When they're cleaning up, they slam doors. You know, they slam cabinets. They everything all loud and shit. Can't do it. Dead.
You got to keep it bottled up. And I just thought just adding that not having noise was an interesting dynamic. And it was kind of cool to see because I had watched an indie film a while back that had a little a short horror film within it. You know, it was just a trailer type film, and it involved all deaf people. Mm. And it was a horror film where they went to a bed and breakfast and they were all deaf and they were being chased by the bed and breakfast owner. And I'm like, that's a cool idea. You know,
it is, man.
You know, where people can't speak because you don't realize how much noise one person can make.
Yeah. Know?
So yeah, this world was definitely believable. You know, you had the dad putting the sand trail out so it would muffle their footsteps. You know, they've got painted where they can step on the floor in the house, which they've kind of abandoned. They're living in a barn, aren't they? Because the house, I would imagine, is probably just too creaky.
Yeah, probably, man. You know, even a new house makes a lot of noise, but definitely an old house. You know, it's like, how much WD-40 really are you going to be able to find, you know, in the alien apocalypse?
Start sliding everywhere. There you go.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. So we have this family dynamic and we follow them. And, you know, I was also appreciated how much time we actually got to spend with them. But yet at the same time, they still reminded you of the threat that was there, because the one scene where they're playing the game and the kid accidentally knocks over the lantern and it wasn't really a big noise, but they just panic. And you're like, oh, well, that couldn't have been. And suddenly the thing's on the roof of their house. Other barn, and it's like, but then you go back to getting with the family again. How'd you feel about that, Andrew, with them kind of, you know, getting you in touch with the family versus, you know, a number of other modern horror films, especially wide release, we just kind of jump into it. You never really feel too attached to those who are being chased by the bad thing.
Well, you know, I mean, given that these people are stuck inside a giant gimmick, which is what A Quiet Place is. Mm-hmm. They do. You can tell that Krasinski as a director is concerned, and Emily Blunt as an actor is concerned. All the professionals in this movie are concerned with this, telling a story about a family first and foremost. It's like, all right, well, if the audience believes them as a family and cares about them as people because the performances are good and the situation and the, you know, all of that is good, then they will care that this ridiculous shit is happening to them, you know, and it is ridiculous.
You thought, were you into the movie at all? Did it cause you any kind of tension or suspense, or were you just looking at it going, wow, this was just a big gimmick?
I didn't, I'm good at knowing movies that I'm not going to like. Mm-hmm. And so I don't go. But I hate it when every single time this happens, the new horror movie's out that everybody's like, Andrew, what'd you think? Everybody's talking about this. I'm like, I didn't go see it because I don't tend to like new horror movies. Not the big ones anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like I tend to like a lot of these, a lot of what A24 puts out, I like and so on. And I, you know what I mean? But like, I'm just not into The Conjuring and The Insidious and The Purge. You know what I'm saying? I'm just mm-hmm. not that guy. And so, and it's because I don't like the way they scare you. Because they don't really scare you. They just startle you by having like things get really quiet and then ridiculously loud. That's how people, that's what people think horror is. And I was like, well, A Quiet Place. Why? That's jump scare the movie, isn't it? I don't want to go see that. But I went anyway. I went anyway. I like Emily Blunt. I like knowing that, you know, sign language, real sign language was learned and used. I would like to support that. I like that, you know. So, yeah, I went. But, yeah, I was stifling my laughter pretty much the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, the premise was so funny to me. It was so funny to me. I was making the Wayans version of it in my head the entire time I was watching it.
Which, you know, will probably come in whatever next scary movie they make.
Can't come fast enough. A direct copy of this, all Wayansized, and you wouldn't have to go, you know what I'm saying, that far with it. It's just everything I just don't find, you know, everything I'm not into about modern horror pretty much was the entire conceit of this movie. And not to take away from the talent that was involved, certainly, but that I think is made it even kind of stick harder for me was that, like, wow, what they could have done if they made something that could just, you know, something with a little bit less of a basic thing behind it, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, what I love is The Tingler, which the conceit of The Tingler is that you have to scream to kill it, right?
Yeah.
And you've got the one woman who's mute and the Tingler's attacking and she can't, you know, she can't scream because mm-hmm. she's mute. That is such a great moment, but it's in a William Castle movie, which is cheesy on purpose, which is campy on purpose, which is for children. It's not serious, you know? And I was like, man, A Quiet Place. If it had just been more campy, I would have knocked me out. I would have loved it, you know? Like, I think I told you, I was just like waiting for someone to fart and get killed, you know? And the place where that would have been wonderful is, the boy and his dad are out in the woods and they happen upon a dead body that's clearly been mangled by these aliens as an older woman. And then they see this old man standing there and the old man just lost his wife. And you're going like, oh God, what's the old man going to do? Old man's going to scream and call the aliens. He don't give a fuck about anything anymore. You know, he just wants to die. So he's committed suicide, right? I was like, what if, you know, they'd put their finger to their faces and the old man's like, you see a can of beans on the ground and they're like, and then, you know, he farts and then he's just aced, you know. I just, things like that were running through my mind. There's a nail in the stairs and someone steps on it and you know they're going to step on it and they can't scream because of the nail. And you're like, God, wouldn't it be funny if everybody that came down those stairs stepped on that nail, including the alien? I'm having all these funny thoughts in my head and it's becoming harder and harder as I'm watching the movie to then stay into it and stay afraid other than being startled by loud noises, mm-hmm. you know?
Well,
and, you know, it's a Platinum Dunes movie, which I enjoy. You know, they make a lot of those remakes. Platinum Dunes did like the Texas Chainsaw one, and I believe they did the Friday the 13th one, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And The Hills Have Eyes. I enjoy those actually. And so it's funny to me that a movie like Annihilation or a movie like Mother isn't making the money or getting the reaction that this thing is getting. And you know, you watch way more horror than I do, indie and wide release. What's the deal? Why is this so great? You tell me.
I think it's great because, well, for me, I mean, I got into it, but it was one of those ones for me that I had to stop asking myself some questions as the film went along. Because
like plot hole type stuff?
Yeah, because if you think about it too much, because I realized while watching it, no, we're just supposed to be focused on his family and how they're dealing with it, rather than the rest of the world. Because I'm sitting there, and one of the questions I had with it, now I enjoyed it a lot more than you did. And I will say, though, that it wasn't all jump scare. There were some tense moments in there that weren't jump scares, particularly with the creature in the basement later on, you know, with the baby and her, where it sinks under the water and that. There were some suspenseful moments, I thought, in here that were decent besides the jump scares, which when you have everything so quiet, it is just natural that you can expect that. But for me, I think part of the reason the appeal for this film is because this is a film that, as we say, it's got a basic concept of you can't make noise. It's got talent behind it that makes you at least have some believable characters. But I think this is a film for the casual horror fan, which are out there who don't watch a lot of horror films. So for them watching this is a phenomenal film. Me, I really dug it. I got into it, though I fully said, like in my review, that there were questions you can't think beyond. Otherwise, it will start taking you out of the film. Or like for you, you know, you're thinking of other things like, man, I wish I had someone, you know, step on the nail. Like for me, and this is the spoiler room, folks. As they got to the solution, because the dad during the movie is working on the girl's collicular implant. I believe that's how it's pronounced. If I apologize, but she's got an implant to help her at least hear or feel some sound. And it eventually plays into them being able to call off the or affect the aliens because it's sound. And for me, the big question for me was these things, you know, they feed off us. They use sound. It would make sense that it would affect them. How is it they didn't come to this realization till now? You know what I mean? To like 2/3 of the way into the film, or actually more than that, near the end of the film.
I did have one question. I'm not usually the one that's like asking myself questions during a movie. I'm just believing in the reality that they present to me. Mm-hmm. But I did have one question. I was like, what kind of fucking asshole gets somebody pregnant during something like this?
That was another question. Yeah.
Because I was like, was she pregnant before they realized that there's aliens around that would kill anything that made noise? Or did these people like have, they couldn't, because you said it was a year.
It was 400. It was 89 days after the invasion. And then it was 479 when we catch up with them again, I believe it is.
Yeah. See, who does that, man? I mean, that was cheap. And there are some of the things I love in the movie are, you know, then the bathtub scene's great when the blood comes out, you know, all that stuff. But I'm sitting there thinking, what kind of a dick are you, man? Because as soon as I realized there was alien invasion and if they hear sound, they'll kill you, I would have gave myself a vasectomy with the fucking ballpoint pen. I wouldn't care what was around.
Yeah.
No way am I having a baby. No way.
Yeah. And for me, I had the kind of question too, like, oh, she's pregnant. Oh, this is where we're going with this. Okay.
Exactly. You see how easy that would be, you know? Like, let's gas it and put it in a box. Homie, why did you get her pregnant?
Yeah, well, and see, I had that question, but I think the answer is because their youngest got munched.
Oh, no. I understand why. I'm just like, man, when did you have sex exactly?
Yeah.
It's the quietest, you know, orgasm ever.
Well, they did have the cellar, so, you know.
Maybe they screwed in front of the waterfall and made it like Tanya's Island style.
Well, there you go.
But then they left the kids.
Returned to the Blue Lagoon or whatnot, you know.
Yeah, something like that. Oh. Nah, man, it's the reason why, it really, is just because it's just a horror movie, you know. Don't get too deep about it, you know.
And that's what I did when I stopped myself while I was watching. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get too deep on it. I understand why they didn't have the solution, because who knows the way they establish it. It sounds like civilization crumbled pretty quickly when these aliens showed up, which makes sense considering how noisy, especially the big popular, you know, cities were in that, so maybe they couldn't communicate out. Because I'm like sitting here going, you're telling me there weren't scientists out there going, wow, these things pick up on audio, so maybe there's a frequency that hurts them.
You know? Like Slim Whitman, like none of y'all saw Mars Attacks. Just play right. Slim Whitman,
make their heads blow up.
God, that would have been great, wouldn't it?
Oh, that was, who was it? In Mars Attacks. That was,
yeah, it was Slim Whitman.
That was Slim Whitman. Okay. Yeah.
That was my reference, everybody.
Yeah. With Mars Attack making their heads blow up. Yeah. You know, and I had thought about that, but then I realized, well, they set it in a rural area for a reason. And so if things went south really quick when these things first showed up, maybe things didn't get communicated to everybody, you know, very well. So I'm like, okay. You know, and they do establish this isn't the only people out in the rural area trying to survive. We've got that scene where they light the fire on top of the water tower, and then you see other people lighting up the water tower, you know, whatever high point they have by their houses, being a farm community that's on top of a silo. So, yeah, you know, they had their own community, but maybe it was just because, you know, they were cut off from the scientists early that they didn't realize that sound may hurt these creatures, which I, in all honesty, I dug the creatures. And for a modern horror film, heck, even for modern action films that we had, I thought the CGI for the creatures looked really good in this for what they were. What'd you think, Andrew, about the special effects and the creature design?
I mean, they're ILM, right?
Yeah.
To me, just like, I don't know. I didn't feel it was anything remarkable about the design. Not really. You know, it would have been nice if they were like, look like some giant eardrum or some shit, you know, or if they all look like Soundwave from Transformer. It to me looked like a lot of other things, you know, remind me a little bit of like the Cloverfield monster, you know, something like that. I don't know. The way the head kind of came apart and stuff. I mean, it was, I don't know. What am I? I'm not into it. I don't know. I don't like, what was a good monster? Attack the Block. Remember that one?
Oh yeah. Attack the Block monsters.
They really did like a different thing with that by making it all shadowy and just showing the teeth, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe Krasinski didn't have like super, I think maybe he just like, it just seemed to me like maybe he left that to them to come up with. It just seemed like an animator's monster versus like a creative's. And I go, that's a shitty thing to say. I shouldn't say that. Of course they're creative. They made it. I don't know, man.
it just wasn't your thing. No, because I know how you feel about CGI, which is why I asked on it. But I thought this
CGI stuff that looks good. I'm just maybe it was a little Resident Evil-y. I don't know. It just was.
Yeah, it reminded me of bits from the other, you know, from some other monster films. But now, it's funny you mentioned that because in the Q&A for South by Southwest, he talked about how he actually went to ILM and said, yeah, you know what? This first time I'm doing something like this. Here's kind of my idea. And he let them run with it. And then they'd come back with ideas and then they'd kind of collaborated, I guess, on it. But he let them come up with the main concept, it sounds like.
So he was the writer, but what did he write it too?
He directed and no, he did not write it.
Okay.
He did not write it, but he, you know, as far as for the design of the creatures and that, he kind of had, you know, some of the, because it wasn't, I don't think it was really described in the script, but I guess he went to ILM.
My favorite horror stuff of modern, honestly, is just, I guess because I'm coming from the 80s and I've seen so much of the most best creatures and shit that in like the heyday of creature effects or whatever. I tend toward like how It Follows did or Final Destination, where they just like don't have a monster, you know? But I realize with movies like this, it reminded me a lot of a Shyamalan. I think that was my gut reaction when I saw it. This was a lot like a Shyamalan movie, you know?
Yeah, it did have that kind of feel to it, I will say, that it was like a Shyamalan film. M. Night, done a little bit better than his more recent one. Well, except because this one felt, like you said, a bit like, it felt a bit like Signs.
It did.
In many ways.
It's a better monster than Signs.
It was a better monster than Signs, definitely. And like you said, as far as the recent monster films I've seen, I dug the creature when you see the head. The rest of the body, I was like, okay, are we kind of borrowing from Muto from Godzilla?
Yeah, it's a little standard, the rest of the body, but the head was neat.
The head was definitely neat, and I enjoyed that. And what helped sell these creatures and the film in general is the sound design, though, I thought what really worked well in this, because people have to try to be quiet, but I enjoyed the sound mixing in this, because I think it played it plays a major part, almost like another character in the film. Did the sound design work for you at all? Did the sounds that the creature make in that, were they believable? You know?
Man. I mean, it was neat. Like the audio, you know, a movie like this lives and dies on its audio, you know? Mm-hmm. So for every like small thing that made just like an insanely loud, impossibly loud noise, you know, which I always look to Scream as like one of the most like basic examples of that. A guy takes a knife out, it sounds like a garbage truck crashing into an aluminum plant. all of that audio was cool. And the times when they chose to have a score and the times when they chose not to have a score was interesting to me, you know, because like they say a good score you don't notice, but I'm like, well, God, in a movie where everybody's quiet, you're going to notice everything, you know.
One of the first movies people will probably find where your audience may actually get quiet.
Yeah, that was cool. It actually made people shut the hell up. So I'll give them that.
It did. I was like, I don't think I've ever. It's like, wow.
People... Except for me, who was making fart noises to myself in my head and trying not to laugh because of that. I'm going to do my own version of this movie. Everybody farts.
No, I just want. Now I want a fan dub out there where they just take the key scenes where people have like a dramatic reaction and you just edit in a fart before you get to the surprised look.
Yeah, just take out the noise that brings the alien, like, you know, instead of them knocking the lamp over, one of them's like,
that would be funny. But, you know, for
me, sorry, all we had was broccoli and Heineken in our storage room. Our mayonnaise for dinner wasn't the best choice. Sorry, Mark.
No, that's quite all right, Andrew. Because I knew kind of going into this, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I wanted a different perspective, kind of a counterpoint to this, because I did dig it a lot. But I knew there were some issues, and a big hyped horror film like this, you know, sometimes I always enjoy hearing a different opinion on this, and you do give me some food for thought for it, but you know, on the whole, I enjoyed it. I thought, though, actually, one of the scariest scenes, I'm going to say right now, didn't involve the monster at first. He shows up later during the scene. But I actually think one of the scariest scenes in here was when the kid falls into the corn silo.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about that? Because, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. I live in Wisconsin. I know corn silos, and you always hear the dangers of them. And so for me, one of the scariest parts didn't involve the monsters. It involved the two kids in the corn silo almost drowning in corn.
But why did it take them so long to grab that piece of that metal door or whatever to hang on to?
Well, it didn't fall right away. But once it did fall, if you're in corn is almost like quicksand. It's hard to crawl out of.
I know nothing about it. Okay, so, I'll take your word for that. No, it seemed a little corny, but it was okay.
Oh,
no, it was fine. It was good suspense. I mean, I haven't seen Death by Corn, so you know.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't a guy got stabbed with an ear of corn in Sleepwalkers?
Oh yeah. Well, they alluded to it a bit in Saw, or Jigsaw, excuse me. They did have a guy in corn, though he had weapons coming at him rather than drowning in corn. So
maybe there is a kernel of truth to it.
Oh, wow. Wow, you just keep them popping, don't you?
Dude, I appreciate that last one.
I think for his first feature, though, to tackle a film like this was interesting. It worked within, you know, being a first-time feature director. I think this is a film that it's good to cut your teeth on. I mean, how'd you feel about his directing overall, the fact that he's both in front and behind the camera? Well, I imagine you know how that is. It can be a little tough.
Oh, yeah. No, man, you got your head in a couple different places. You got to really, you know, you got to have a good team with you. And mm-hmm. so that's why I think him having his wife in the film was good, because, you know, he's got a very experienced person in the cast that, you know, can help out when needed and, you know, have that on there. So when he can, because you often hear about, like, you know, brothers directing things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the husband and wife teams for sure. So, but just like doing that, it's all got to be extremely difficult. And I, you know, I'm appreciative of all that. And I really think he's got a great handle, dynamics and suspense and structure and all that stuff. And I think his next movie, maybe, or movie after that. And I don't know if he is done with the horror genre. It'd be fine with me if he was. But just, you know, we've had recently talk about of Hitchcock, you know, and I think people tend to think about Psycho and stuff like that, but really Hitchcock was suspense. Hitchcock is one of the precursor to things like maybe like the Bourne movies or something, you know, that's got the roots in that. And so that sort of suspense, you know, just like your pulse pounder, you know, not necessarily horror, but just like tension. And that could be comedic tension. Mm-hmm. That could be romantic tension. And so if I knew he was the dream, even if he wasn't in it, I would go see it.
Yeah, he really has a handle on the tension that works in this film quite a bit, in a number of places, especially where you want it to be. I mean, it does follow some of the tropes of horror films and that. But you'll get it in a movie like this that is pretty much based off of a gimmick of things being quiet and playing off of that. We didn't mention Noah Jupe, who plays the younger brother who lived in the film. I enjoyed his performance as well, especially his interactions with Millicent's character. They felt like brother and sister. And yeah, it was really cool that everybody actually knew sign language. So that, mm-hmm. that I think adds to it. And I just wanted to mention him because he does a really good job here as well. This cast helped, I think, Krasinski a lot in help selling this film. Cause I think if he had a group of, say, lesser talented actors, I don't think this film gets pulled off as well. And no. I know you can see
that kid was,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead, homie.
I was just going to say, I know you can say that with almost any movie, but, you know, the cat, he seemed to have a really good, talented cast in this, which helped, I think, sell the horror part of this film.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to mention that kid was from Suburbicon. I didn't really like the movie that much, but he was, like, the best thing about it, pretty much.
Yeah, I missed seeing that film, and I wanted to.
Great, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, I had heard mixed reviews on that one. So,
well, it was like an old Coen Brothers script, and you realize there's a reason why they never made it. Just not that great. I mean, there were some great ideas in it, but, you know, as a movie, it's just more like trailers are cooler than the movie itself. But he was the son of Matt Damon's character, and mm-hmm. he's really good. Like, you know, it's just it's a Coen's double cross kind of story, you know. Sure. And his dad ends up being pretty awful person, and so the kid's kind of like trapped there with what he knows and whatnot. And that kid was great. He was really good.
Yeah, this was the first time I had seen him, so I sat there and I was like, this is a really good cast, and I think that helps helps with the film. And also the film is striking at a really good time, I think, right now. You've had your big films just before this, and you have some after it, but this weekend really didn't have any large films premiering. So I think it's also a good time for it to come out. because it's got big name. It's, you know, it's a horror gimmick that people can catch on real easy. And yeah, it's got the stuff that I think your casual horror fan really looks for in horror films, because I've heard it in other films getting up from them, like The Conjurings and that. And I think the big one was The Gallows, which had 13 or 14 jump scares in it. And I heard someone in the back, a couple of younger guys, go, "Wow, that was a really great horror film."
I mean,
for me, I was like, "Oh, the last 5 minutes of the film was really good."
Nah, when you're a kid, you go to a horror with your buddies. It's almost like, "Yeah, man, I'm not too scared of this," and you know, you just make you jump and you get exhilarated, and then you can leave it under your seat.
Yeah,
you know. And I like movies that you can't leave under your seat. Yeah.
And this movie's kind of like that. It's one of those where I thought it had some great moments. It's got the good family dynamic, and being, well, you're a parent as well. I will say stuff with the kids always gets to me a bit. You know, horror movie or not, that always is like, "Oh crap, man, that's what I would do," you know.
Sure.
So I enjoyed the fact that it stuck with the family and it had a good dynamic, but it is one of those where just focus on the family and the world that they're living in and not the world beyond their farmland. Because again, you have some questions, I think, that come up with it that you're just like, well, they could have did this, you know? And I try not to ask those questions, but a few of them did come up. Like with the scene with the birthing, where she's pregnant and coming back to this, it was pretty intense. And I think it's going to be one of those more memorable scenes you're going to see for a while, repeated in other places and such. You know, I feel bad. Scientology popped into my head when she's in labor and giving birth. Cause, isn't Scientology that has a thing where the woman's not supposed to make a noise when giving birth? I think it is.
I think so. That sounds really familiar to me. I think
I read that somewhere. And so I'm just, it, for some reason, that just popped into my head.
Yeah, it's remarkable. No, man, I think people love it because it's got that right amount of familiarity with it. I think now my observation is, like, as a horror fan, these movies, the wide release ones, are no longer being made for people like me. I don't identify with them. If I want to just see people die, or if I want to just jump, I can go watch one. But if I want a little more, if I want a little, you know, something that's going to be like, I don't know, add to the legacy of great horror, my favorite horror, what I like, I doubt I'll find it amongst those.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, you know, but it's horror also is usually a young person's movie, and young parents might be scared about this one, but there was too much of it to me that, like, you know, it's like, oh, what was that movie where you know, all those things were on the wall of the person that was, like, you know, trying to figure the thing out, and, you know, like, makeshift communication system. What was the movie where they did that? It was like, what was that movie where at the end you see on the wall where they're like, you know, you have to look at the wall and put together everything that was happening. And you're like, oh, right. Here's why that happened. Because of these things on the wall. And, you know, a character's like looking at it. What was that movie?
I forgot. I know which one you're talking about. I forgot offhand. I watch way too
much. A million of them. No, you could say seven, but a million of them. Yeah. At least seven of them, or the movie seven. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, to me, I'm just like, oh God, it got a little explainy at the end. And I wanted, and I told you this, I wanted the kids' hearing aid to explode these heads of these monsters. But instead, you get the mom with the gun who then does it instead and gets all mama bear with it. And you're like, well, you know, we live in a time where we're kind of like, kids are in danger and guns are at the forefront of the issue. And for the kid to then be saved by the mom with the gun rather than defeating the evil thing without using a gun would have been a really good thing to see and for that film to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and see, I was hoping that her sound, because she's got her dad repairs her implant, but it still goes wrong and it emits this high frequency thing that really disturbs these creatures, causes them pain. So she puts it next to a mic amplifier, a radio that her dad had in the basement, and that in the final confrontation with the creature, and I thought it killed it, and I was like, yes.
And not then the creature, its head didn't explode.
Well, yeah, that's true. The head didn't explode. But even if without exploding, I was kind of hoping. I'm like, yes, please. That good. That's awesome that she was able to do that. That's great. And then it got back up. I'm like, oh, man.
You know, why would her dad have anything in that house that would emit a loud noise, though, even accidentally?
Well, he had a monitor. He was monitoring radios. Right. It was a radio, ham radio, and so he had an external speaker so he could listen to see if there was, anybody out there, so to speak. So that's why he had it in his basement. He had that radio equipment. I couldn't quite figure out the motivation of keeping his daughter from being down there, you know?
Maybe because since she couldn't hear, she wouldn't know if she was, like, turning a wrong knob and shit.
That could be, because he did have a lot of crap in the basement, so.
And he was just worried about her in general, not letting her do shit. That was part of their dynamic, because he's, you know, he can't hear, you know, that could cause a problem, because you don't know when you're making noise.
Yeah, well, I mean, and her not hearing did create some tense moments, I thought, as well. Some of the better moments in the film was where she couldn't hear, and he had, like, the monster behind her.
Yep.
You know, I liked those moments quite a bit, too. Where they there's something going on, and they told it from her perspective to where you couldn't hear, which was, it had a great effect as well. So there you have it, folks. I think we'll wrap it up tonight. A Quiet Place. It made huge at the box office. People are digging it. I dug it. Andrew, I think not so much. but which is why I wanted to kind of do this kind of mano y mano thing, because you've given me some more thought on their approach to.
Hey, man, rarely do I come on here saying I like a movie. We always talk about movies that we like, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I like I said, it's part of the reason why I wanted to do this episode. And, you know, and for me, I enjoyed it, but just don't ask too many questions. Like, if she was ready to give birth, or if they thought that she was even close, why didn't they live closer to the waterfall? So when she gave birth.
Yeah, man, honestly, this is, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I don't normally like this stuff. I don't know why I went, you know. It's just not my type of movie.
Yeah, in all honesty, I was kind of surprised you went, Andrew, because
because I didn't want, I just, it's what happened with It. Mm-hmm. You know, It comes out, I got no interest in it. Stranger Things came out, I got no interest in it. I just not into it. And then every single time somebody like, I can't believe you haven't seen this. You need to see it, man. I want to talk to you, but I want to know what you think. Like, who am I? Why do you care what I think about this horror movie? I don't even really call myself that big of a horror fan. Mm-hmm. You know, horror fan is somebody that will watch any horror, watches all the new stuff. You know what I'm saying? And like has seen everything. Like that's a fan right there. That's not me. That's not how I do it. That's not even my favorite genre. You know, I'm like, I would watch every Bikini Car Wash movie ever made before I would go out and see every horror movie ever made. I would watch them all 5 times. I would watch all stewardess movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I want to see. I'm just not into it. When I was a kid, I went to see all of that. There wasn't one horror that came out in the 90s that wasn't there opening weekend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like that anymore. Maybe it'll come around and, you know, new generation will start making stuff that really is, you know, changing things. But I feel like now at the moment, they're not really, I don't know. They're not using, it's just, it's too simple what they're doing, you know? Like, it's not quite for little kids, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's not for grownups either. It's just like, you know, they just want to bounce them around like an amusement park ride, you know?
Well, it's what's worked, and it's getting, you know, butts in the seats of the theater. So they're going to keep doing it as long as it's making money. So, you know, here you got A Quiet Place made $50 million, which, I mean, again, we've had this discussion before, why studios love horror films. Cheap to make, and they usually pull in a big profit.
Wait, man, let me ask you this, though. How about The Loud Place, like for part two?
The Loud Place, where anybody who's quiet gets eaten?
Yeah, like you can literally cannot stop making noise.
Wow. That might get on your audience's nerves a bit, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, it would be funny to me, man. Because you think about the loudest places and shit, or families that just talk at full volume, and, you know, just it would be... I just thought of that.
The loud have a great soundtrack to it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Or, hey, how about this, the diarrhea place, where you have to have diarrhea the whole time, or else, you know.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that, Andrew.
All right, yeah. People like the dad's coming up with new ways for them to get the shit all in.
Here, Taco Bell's still in business here.
Taco Bell's like, oh God, that would be the main thing. Everybody be flocking to Taco Bell.
Here's Taco Bell. Here, honey. Everybody gives out X-Lax for trick-or-treats.
Yeah, it's just like rivers of it, you know? It's like Venice, you know? They're just the diarrhea canals.
I love how your mind works, Andrew.
I don't know. Thanks, man. I hope the people listening to this like it.
I'm not sure. I know like there's this guy. There's a lot of people out there that enjoyed the film. There's some out there that thought it was really boring too. So you've got both sides of the fence out there, though.
I wouldn't say it's boring. I just honestly, yeah, it was. I felt like a jerk. I really wanted to laugh at it. It just seemed over the top, a little, you know.
Everybody looks for something different, you know, and like I said, for me, I dug it, especially for a wide release modern horror film. I thought it was cool to see a film like this on the big screen, because I could have easily seen this done just directly to VOD, you know, because there's similar movies out, not dealing with, you know, sound, but still similar in tone and feeling that are doing direct to video stuff that never get wide release. And I think it's because the names behind this film that it gets wide release. You know, part of the reason why you saw Mother in the theaters. I never thought I'd see a movie like Mother wide released in the movie theaters.
You're not going to.
And we're not going to anymore either, apparently.
Nope. Nah, there was one a couple years ago called Monster, man. Juno Temple was the mom, I think. And it was about a mother and her kid, like, trapped in a car, like, broken down car or an accident car on the side of the road. And they had like, a lot of tension beforehand and something like that. And it was, like, about them trying to survive and her protecting her kid.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like kind of like Cujo, but I like the monster in that, too. So, you know, I like the idea of having the intense family things. You know, Babadook had that, too. You know, the mom with the kid is just impossible, and then all of a sudden there's a mom. So, I mean, I see where they're going, and I like the risk they take, and I liked it that this wasn't just another sequel, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Platinum Dunes, hey, you know, they don't just have to do remakes. They can do some, you know, try it. I like the try it attitude, and I like people supporting stuff that is not a franchise, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it should never be made and shouldn't exist. I'm just saying this ain't my thing.
No, it wasn't your thing. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. Everybody, that's why I love film. It's my mantra. I stick to it every day, that everyone sees something different in a film. And for me, it gives me hope seeing a film like this, even though it's a gimmick. I thought it was an interesting gimmick, not many had done before in horror film, if at all. And after seeing this, and I've seen a few other films where, well, like Annihilation, where people are seem to be at least taking a little bit more of a chance. And like you said, not just falling back on making it a retro film or making it a sequel or making another franchise entry. There's filmmakers and film studios actually trying to bring at least a little something more original to the horror genre, you know, and to the big screen, which I'm in full support of, at least in that aspect, if anything else, because for far too long, we've gotten just nothing but sequels or like throwback films, you know?
Yeah.
And
No, I'm glad it wasn't that. I'm glad it wasn't 80s. So that's what I'm most tired of. I don't need to make this about that, man. And hey, you know, I recommended a movie to everybody. Watch Monster. It was cool.
There you go. So there you go, a thumbs up and I guess thumbs down a bit for A Quiet Place. But take it that as you will. I hope you've enjoyed this discussion. I appreciate Andrew coming on and doing this table for two episode. I may be doing some more of these. We'll have to see where it goes from here. I'm always trying something new as well here on the show. And yeah, Andrew's given me some food for thought, and hopefully maybe I've done a little bit of the same. And I hope it's given you food for thought. And if you do see it, you can let us know. You can email us and such. But I think we'll wrap it up here. And I guess my final question to Andrew is, I know this film didn't quite appeal for you, and you've kind of touched on it already, but as far as the resurgence of horror goes, do you think that this, because we've seen a lot of horror films wide release in the last like 2, 3 years, do you think that maybe has sparked people's interest again in possibly seeing some of the older classic horror films? Or do you, or maybe branch out from the wide release horror? Do you think that maybe is sparking a new interest in the genre?
No, I don't. I just my observance of the chatter that goes on with trailers, because mostly I go to see movies of preview, so I'm one of the only people that's there. But when I go like a lot of time to the summer or whatever, I try to go see a movie, certain types of movies with a crowd, because I know that will affect my how I feel about it, you know? And so, and I pay attention to the things that the people around me are saying and the age of the people that say answer and whatever. And when it comes to horror, the people seem to be young and like, the under 20 or around 20 or something like that. And they just the ones that are going out to the theater, those previews end and they're just like, oh man, that looks so scary. I'm gonna go see that. They just they don't have their needs are super basic. And my friend Link Suter, who owned the first video store in Athens ever and closed Video Link, his store a few years ago, said that the horror fans aren't coming in wanting to see old movies. And that's part of why video stores died, because everybody wants to see the newest, most popular, dumbest thing, and they want to see it like right now. So I don't, no, I don't really see that happening. You would have to have a culture that was fed up, and right now they just want to get fed, you know?
Well said. Well said. And yeah, I actually haven't seen too much of the chatter either of people possibly exploring older films, but we may be bringing some older horror films to this show. We already have in the past. And yeah, hopefully it's p sparked your interest, and hopefully you found this discussion interesting, if anything I did. So thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on the show tonight. And why don't you let these fine listeners know where they can find you at when you're not here?
Oh man, well listen, homies, my friends and I make our own movies. We are called Gonzerific. We make them out here in Athens, Georgia. It's not horror movies, big surprise, but we do have elements of cult and exploitation and sexploitation and sci-fi, and there's some horror and some, there's all kind of stuff. We just kind of do what we want because it's the digital age, and you can. You can watch our stuff on Amazon Prime by going to amazon.com/V as in vagina. / Gonzorific, GonzorificC. And if you're into physical media, you can go to gonzorific.com and you can buy some stuff from us that's got commentaries and gag reels and short films. They're all handmade, so you'd get, my fingerprints on it if you wanted to do something horrible with me, with your time machine or whatever. But also we're on YouTube, so if you just want to watch stuff, there's stuff on YouTube as well.
Awesome stuff. Yes, check his stuff out. I appreciate his time quite a bit, and I appreciate all my listeners out there for continuing to listen to us. We grow in listenership all the time. It seems a few more every week, and I appreciate that because I'm just a guy who loves talking films, and I keep finding people who are willing to talk them with me. So, A Quiet Place is out there now in theaters, made $50 million at the box office, crushed Ready Player One, and the other film that started up this weekend about the Kennedy scandal.
Chappaquiddick. You know, I'm interested in that, man. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that. What a crazy ass cover up, you know?
Yeah, I may still try to catch that movie in the next week here. So
that's like one of those I can't believe it really happened kind of things. But you know, we all, you know, was Ted Kennedy drunk and what was he doing with that girl? You know, mm-hmm. like she worked on his campaign. He was married. Like I don't know a lot about it. I would like to see that.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about it either, so I am curious about that film as well, and I may try to catch it, though. We do have Trivia Fever here in Stevens Point coming up for the World's Largest Trivia Contest, so I am starting to focus on that a bit more.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you, folks, and this is where we'll just say good night, everyone.
Hey, you know, Quiet Place Part 2, silent but violent.
Hey, all my Spoiler Room friends out there, if you like what you hear, why not head on over to iTunes and like, comment, and even subscribe to our channel? It always helps us out. Or you can find us on Stitcher Radio as well. You can drop us a tweet on the Twitter at Spoiler Room PDCS or Special Mark Pro. Look for us also on Facebook at the Spoiler Room Podcast or in the Special Mark Productions Facebook group. Let us know what movies or topics you'd like to be discussed in the Spoiler Room, where the conversation is fresh, but we do spoil the movies.